Hey everyone, welcome back. Today we're going to dive into something super important for building those rock-solid APIs, you know, the ones that can handle anything. We're talking about rate limiting with ASP.NET Core.
Ah, music to my ears. Rate limiting, it's way more exciting than it sounds.
It really is. And to guide us through this, we've got a fresh technical document just came out April 8th, 2024, using ASP.NET Core Rate Limiter Middleware. Middleware. Now that sounds kind of techie.
Yeah, it might sound like something straight out of Star Wars, but trust me, it's all about making our lives easier. Think of it as this toolbox. Yeah, a toolbox full of handy components for your APIs.
It's like pre-built components we can just plug in.
Exactly. And one of those tools is our star of the show, rate limiting. Okay, so before we get lost in the middleware galaxy, could you give us a quick rundown on what makes rate limiting so crucial for APIs, especially these days?
Well, imagine you're trying to buy those concert tickets, right? Everyone's hitting refresh, the site slows to a crawl. Super frustrating.
You know, worst.
And it's often because the server's getting slammed with way more requests than it can handle. Rate limiting is like our traffic cop. It helps prevent those digital traffic jams.
So instead of our API freaking out, we're basically controlling the flow.
Exactly. It's about making sure things run smoothly, no matter what the internet throws at it.
And ASP.NET Core's middleware can help us with this.
It's got our back.
Okay, so let's say we're sold on the whole rate limiting thing. Where do we even begin?
Well, the cool thing is, ASP.NET Core makes it surprisingly straightforward. The document walks you through it, but essentially, you install a specific package, then you add a few lines of code to your program.cs file, and boom, you've got some basic rate limiting up and running.
Program.cs, that's like the control center for the entire application, right?
Exactly. You're basically setting the ground rules for how your API should behave right from the get-go.
So a few lines of code in the control center, and we're protected. That sounds almost too good to be true. But let's dig a little deeper. What's really happening behind the scenes with this basic setup? What kind of protection are we getting right out of the box?
So with those few lines, you're essentially setting a speed limit. It's like saying, okay, each client can make this many requests within this time frame and no more. The default is usually 100 requests per minute. And it can be applied to individual users, you know, based on their login or just by their host name if they're not logged in.
Okay, so even with this basic setup, we're already talking about some pretty decent protection.
Oh, absolutely. You're stopping anyone from hogging all the resources.
Yeah.
You know, potentially crashing the whole system. It's especially crucial for those denial of service attacks.
Those are the ones where someone tries to bombard your server with requests, right? Like a digital swarm of...
Exactly. They try to overload it, but with rate limiting, you've got that first line of defense. But it's not just about fending off the bad guys. It's about making sure everyone has a good experience.
So it's like making sure everyone gets a fair shot at grabbing that limited edition sneaker online. You're preventing any one person from ruining it for everyone else.
Exactly. It's about keeping things fair and preventing those website meltdowns.
Okay, so this basic setup definitely sounds like a great foundation. But like most things in software development, I'm guessing there's always room for customization, right?
100%. We wouldn't want a one-size-fits-all approach. Not for every single API.
You hit the nail on the head. It's all about having that flexibility, that nuance. And that's where those customization options in ASP.NET Core come in handy.
So it's like fine-tuning our traffic control system.
Precisely. We can tailor it to our API's specific needs, handle all sorts of different situations.
Okay, I'm intrigued. What kind of control knobs are we talking about here? What are some ways we can customize this rate limiter? Well, three key settings come to mind. The document lays them out. Permit limit, window, and queue limit. Think of them as instructions for our API's traffic controller, right? Like how to handle different scenarios.
Okay, so let's break those down. Let's start with permit limit. What's that all about?
Permit limit is all about setting the maximum number of requests a single client can make within, you know, a certain time period. Like think of it as setting the capacity for our API.
Okay, so if we set permit limit to, say, 50, that means one client can only make 50 requests, and then what?
Then comes the window setting. That's where we define the time frame for those requests.
So we can have a window of like 1 minute. So 50 requests per minute max.
Exactly. Or we could stretch it out, say, to an hour, giving them more requests overall, but spread out over a longer time.
Gotcha. So it's like a bucket of requests they can use up over a certain period.
You got it. It's all about adapting to different traffic patterns. Say, you know, your API gets slammed every hour on the hour. You can adjust that window accordingly.
Smart. So we've got the limit, we've got the time frame. But what happens when a client hits that limit? Do they just get shut down completely? That seems a bit harsh, doesn't it?
Not necessarily. That's where our friend Q-Limit comes in. It's like setting up a little waiting line, a holding area for those extra requests.
So instead of giving them the cold shoulder, we're just asking them to wait their turn politely.
Exactly. Instead of an immediate rejection, those requests are queued up, you know, giving the API a chance to catch up, process things when it has some breathing room.
Much nicer than a too many requests, try again later message. So we're controlling the flow, we're being polite about it. This is pretty cool.
And the document actually gives a really neat example. Using these settings together, they call it a sliding window algorithm for rate limiting.
Oh, that rings a bell. Something about handling bursts of traffic, right?
Exactly. So in the example, they use a permit limit of like 100 requests per minute, but with a queue limit of 25. Basically, it allows for that baseline of 100 requests per minute, but can handle those sudden spikes, you know, those bursts up to 125 by queuing the extras.
That's super clever, especially for things like, you know, flash sales or new product launches.
Precisely. You're expecting that surge in traffic, but you don't want to block out legitimate users who are just trying to get in on the action.
Right. So it's like having a flexible traffic system. It adapts, keeps things moving.
That's the idea. Now, we've been talking about applying these limits, like the general sense, right, to all clients the same way. But what about situations where we need more, like individual control?
You're thinking about different types of users, right? Like free versus paid subscribers.
Exactly. We wouldn't want to treat them all the same way, would we?
Definitely not. That wouldn't be fair. Especially if you're paying for a premium experience, you'd expect a bit more leeway.
And that's where per user rate limiting comes in. And that's a big deal, especially in the SaaS world. You know, software as a service.
And ASP.NET Core makes this easy, too.
Surprisingly so.
This is what I love about these deep dives. You start with one concept, and it's like layers of an onion. So how does ASP.NET Core handle this whole per-user thing?
Remember how we talked about rate limiting being partitioned, you know, by username or hostname? Well, that comes into play here.
Okay, so we know who's making the request. But how do we actually apply different rate limits based on that?
They've got this really elegant way to do it. Essentially, you can dynamically fetch a user-specific rate limit right from your database.
So it's like a lookup table, different users, different limits.
Exactly. You could have different limits based on subscription levels or even for individual users if you need that level of control.
Wow. So if I'm a premium subscriber, the API checks my level, sees my allowed limit, and boom, I get the green light.
Exactly. It's about that balance, right? Protecting your resources, being fair to everyone, but also delivering that top-notch user experience.
It sounds like ASP.NET Core has really thought of everything. You get all the tools to build a seriously smart rate limiting system without having to, like, code it all from scratch.
It's a really solid framework.
Yeah.
And the best part is this whole approach, tying it to those ASP.NET Core endpoints, it means you get that consistency across the board.
Consistency. Tell me more about that.
Think about how you build your API. Right? Maybe you're using Service Stack or MVC controllers or even those minimal APIs. It doesn't matter. This rate limiting logic, it just works.
So it's like a universal traffic cop. No matter what part of my API a request goes to, it's all managed the same way.
You got it. Less headache, less code to maintain. It just makes sense.
Makes sense to me. And if you do need to get super specific, like targeting just your Service Stack APIs with a certain limit, you can.
Yep. You can set up a named policy just for them and then use that use service stack thing to apply it.
Very cool. Very organized. You know, we've covered a ton of technical details, and it's clear that ASP.NET Core gives you a lot of power with rate limiting. But before we wrap things up, there's something I've been kind of pondering.
Go for it.
This document, it's great. Don't get me wrong. But it got me thinking, with all this power with rate limiting, are there any, like, downsides, things developers should watch out for?
Ah, the age-old question, right? With great power, it's easy to get caught up in all the cool features and forget that there can be trade-offs.
Exactly. So what are some of those potential, like, pitfalls with rate limiting?
Well, the biggest one is probably the impact on your users. You know, if those rate limits are set too tight.
Too strict, and suddenly, your legitimate users are getting blocked left and right. Not a good look.
Not at all. So it's all about finding that sweet spot, protecting your API, yeah, but also making sure your users have a good experience.
Makes sense.
What else?
Another thing to keep in mind is the complexity, especially when you start getting into all those customization options we talked about.
It's powerful, but it's not exactly plug and play, right?
Right. You got to weigh the benefits against that added complexity. Make sure you've got the resources, the testing, all that good stuff. to handle it properly.
Now, testing, that's key.
Yeah.
Got to make sure it's actually working the way you expect, not accidentally blocking people it shouldn't.
Absolutely. Rate limiting, it's like any powerful tool,
right?
It's most effective when you use it thoughtfully, when you really understand what it can do. I couldn't agree more. It's not about just flipping a switch. It's about careful planning, making sure it's doing what you need it to do.
Well said.
Well, this has been fantastic. We've gone from zero to rate limiting heroes, all thanks to ASP.NET Core and, of course, your expert insights.
It's been my pleasure.
We've covered the basics, some really cool advanced tricks, and even those look out for this moments. For anyone listening who's ready to dive in, ASP.NET Core, it's got your back. You can build a really robust traffic management system. And with everything we've talked about today, you're ready to handle those API requests like a pro. So until next time, happy coding, everyone.